I believe that God made the universe in just the span of 6 days. I believe that Noah built a mighty boat that floated safe on the waves. I believe that Daniel slept his cares away on the floor of a lion's den. I believe that the word of God is sure and points our hearts to Him. I believe, from Genesis to Revelation, yes, Lord, I believe that your word is sure, your love is sure, your grace I now receive. Two words of my heart, Lord, I believe.
I believe that Mary had a baby boy, and Joseph was not his dad. I believe that Jesus lived a perfect life, and no one else ever has. I believe that He died on a rugged cross to pay for all my sin. I believe that early on the third day, my Savior rose again.
I believe, from Genesis to Revelation, yes, Lord, I believe that your word is sure, your love is sure, your grace I now receive. The two words of my heart, Lord, I believe, from Genesis to Revelation, yes, Lord, I believe that your word is sure, your love is sure, your grace I now receive. The two words of my heart,
Lord, I believe.
The two words of my heart,
Lord, I believe.
The two words of my heart,
Lord, I believe.
I believe.
Wonderful. God bless you, boys. Thank you. I appreciate it. Our book of Ruth, if you would please, the book of Ruth. Thank you so much, young men. I appreciate that. I really do. I'm so honored to be here tonight, and thank God for the good crowd, and appreciate Dr. Angel and Faith Baptist Church putting on a Revival Fires conference. It's been a blessing thus far, and there's no greater friend to our church, our college, than Faith Baptist Church. I don't want to publicly say thank you so very much, Dr. Angel and your dear people. Been a great friend. Thank you so very much. I personally believe that Brother Angel ought to continue to pastor the church here, not just lead the choir. But I do feel that he needs to continue to lead the choir. I don't believe he should ever relinquish that, because every time we come, Kim and I enjoy him dancing. We don't get to see that very often. I just love to see it. We just sit out there and just enjoy every bit of it, don't we, baby? And I'd like to have met him when he was lost. Anyway, thank all the care of us, Brother Angel. Everything's been wonderful, and so many friends and pastors. This great group of guys that are here, and I cherish your friendship and thank God for you standing together to stem the tide in these last days of compromise and contemporary progressive movement that's afoot. And it's going to take some loudmouth Baptists to continue to get loud about it. We have a movement afoot also to try to hush us up and try to squelch some of this stuff, try to be politically correct from the pulpit. And that is not what made the Independent Baptist movement what it was and even what it is. Somebody's going to have to herald the message, stand, and don't worry about the winds and the votes of people. You can't check the winds every time you preach or the amens of a crowd. What you need to do is preach truth and let the chips fall where they may and let God honor the preaching of His word. And that's what has to happen. And I thank God for you good men that's standing true to the Word of God. I certainly appreciate the time here and the good friends that we have already talked to. We're under the weather a bit, the wife and I, and she more than I. She caught it from me. And I just, when you're stopped up and you can't hear, it's hard to preach, hard to hear yourself. And but I'll try to do my best tonight. During this past season, I work hard, and then when there's a few days off, I take a few days off, try to hunt. If you don't like that, you're going to lump it any way you want to. But anyway, I tried to do that. And then this year, I was actually 70 days during the out of 104. I only hunted 8 days this whitetail season. One of those days was in a covered blind. Brother Woodward was on my property. He went out in the rain. Brother Angel did not want to be in the rain because it was going to jeopardize his song leading of the choir. And so we actually went in a ground blind, and I videoed him. I said, I'll bring a video camera and I'll video you. And so he brought his bow out there, and he said, preacher, you're really sick. I just came from a national conference, preached sick in my place on Sunday morning, preached for a preacher downstate in Indiana, sick that night, running a fever, then preached a national conference on Monday night, sick. Got up about 4 o'clock the next morning, and Kim drove 6.5 hours pulling this bad boy buggy with us all the way down to the property. Brother Wood and Brother Angel were there, and we were in a blind. And he said, you're sick. You need to go get help. And then right after that, Brother Angel, how many of you at Faith Baptist Church remember? Brother Angel got sick. It's because I kissed him is why, just like Kim. And it's all on video, too. I brought my video camera. So, but he got sick forever, and he'd blame me. I get blamed for everything, but that's all right. Good to see, of course, my pastor, Dr. Buchanan, here. He and his wife, appreciate them, really do. Called to preach under his ministry and down south. I believe the south is going to rise again, just give us time. Ran out of corn cobs the first time, and we're just sharpening whatever we got to fight back, but we're coming back, trust me. But, you know, down south, things are done different. Many of y'all are already hooked on swamp people, and you know you are. Just admit it. And I'm not preaching against it tonight. I promise you I'm not preaching against it. But I do know those boys. In fact, I taught one of them how to fish, believe it or not. But down south, they do things different. Some of you heard this before. Down around the Texas-Louisiana border, there's been a recent rash of illegal cockfighting. We fight pit bulls down there and cocks, you know, the chickens and crawfish, whatever we can fight and bet on, we do down there. A lot of gambling going on. So the director of the Louisiana State Police, finally been on public pressure, sent an investigator down there to get down to the bottom of the problem. So the crack investigator Boudreaux went down in an unmarked cruiser and headed down to Mamou, Louisiana. And he's gone for a couple of days. He arrived back in Baton Rouge, reported to the director. He reported that there were three major groups involved in this illegal cockfighting. Number one, there was a Texas Aggie. Number two, there was Cajuns. And number three, there was the Mafia. Of course, the boss wanted to know, how did he surmise this? And he replied, he said, first, I know there was a Texas Aggie involved because somebody entered a duck into the fight. He said, I knew that there was some Cajuns involved, he said, because somebody bet on the duck. And he said, I absolutely knew that the Mafia was involved because the duck won. And that's how it operates down in Louisiana. In honor of Dr. Runyon and Dr. Green, we remain seated. I learned something during this meeting, but anyway. The book of Ruth, you stay there in chapter 1. I'll read a verse and then we'll get over there in the book of Ruth. In John chapter 6 and verse 66 and 67, the Bible says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Will ye also go away? I'd like to speak a little while on the subject tonight, walking out of the will of God. I feel what we're seeing a lot in our movement and this progressive thing that's happening. Everybody's touching on it and some of this contemporary things that's happening. And some of the young men, but also some of the old men are going that way, is because they're walking out of the will of God. This book is very distinct on how we ought to strive lawfully. And when you don't strive lawfully, trust me, God is not pleased with it. And I believe that many are walking out of the will of God. Father, help us tonight for a little while. Bless us, please, I pray. Change some life in this room, some preacher maybe. The young people of this room, I pray that they'd listen very carefully and understand this book is absolutely have it outlined concerning the will of God and how we're to walk and how it would be. I pray that you'd bless this good preacher. Thank you, Lord, for him having his conference. Bless Dr. Coral and his good paper. Thank you, Father, for his longevity and him being faithful to thee. Thank you for this great church, Lord, being here and sending this good preacher here. I pray that you continue to bless their kind, multiply their kind, please. I pray in Jesus' name and amen. I believe God has a will for every Christian in this room. Every one of us, if we can get that down for you, son, and you, son, and you, son, and you, son, and you, ma'am, and you, sir. Everybody in this room, God has a definite will for all of us. But not only that, I believe that he has the center of God's will. There is a center of God's will. I believe that there is a place. I believe there is a place that God has for every Christian. Now, some don't believe this is fine, and God may have a journey for you to go through before you find that place. The problem is we're not having a lot of people that are planted. This is why we have so many church hoppers. They get mad and they go across town, and there was a day in our fundamental independent blowing a bottle, spitting the sand, hallelujah, shouting Baptist church, when you got mad at Brother Angel, you couldn't go across town to any other fundamental independent Baptist church without getting the same thing that you were getting from Brother Angel, but not anymore, friend. I mean, there's every stripe and every color. And even, or some are bragging about, this is the type of independent Baptist church that has no standards. Come with us. I believe there is a place, a geographical and a spiritual place for every Christian. I also believe that many are walking away from the will of God and leaving that place. And when you do, there are consequences upon you and your family. We will never have revival. We'll never get back to the old paths and the old way until we get it right with God about this matter of the fragility of the will of God. I believe many in this room just believe they just trifle with God and trifle with His will, and you can't do that. There's several people in this room right now know that I'm not supposed to be where I'm at. They know that I shouldn't be up north. They know where I came from. Why in the world 30 years? Planted! Why? Planted because I can't do anything else, because when God Almighty told me what His will was, He just didn't change His mind every 6 months down the road. Happens all the time. I've been tempted. Dr. Buchanan can tell you I was on the payroll there before I went to school. Wanted to come back. Wanted to come back more than anything in the world. Work for Him and serve Him. My mama, my daddy was there. Her mother, her daddy were there, my first wife. We wanted to go back. I just couldn't do it because I knew that God had planted me in a place. You know, people say, well, why don't you go home? You know, home is a wonderful place. And a lot of people say, well, Louisiana is your home. Well, it might be my home, but Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin is the will of God. And I've said it often, I'll say it again. I'd rather be in God's will and visit home from time to time than to be home and visit God's will from time to time. I want to be in God's will. I don't want to leave God's will. I see men in this room. You are my heroes. I look to you because you have stayed the course all of these years. I don't even go through naming names right here. You know who you are. You're my friend. You've been in your place for so very long. And I look to you and say, how in the world did they make it? I'll tell you how they made it. They got through the quitting times. They got through those times that they just felt, bless God, I just ought to leave. But they said, no, I can't, because God has placed me right here. And this is God's will for my life. When you walk out of the will of God, it's going to cost you something. When you walk out of the will of God, you'll take others with you. Every time. I wish I could stress this to every preacher and every young person in this room. When you walk out of the will of God, you always take people with you. I think here in the book of Ruth, and you're there, and you'll see it in the first several verses there, 1-5. We have Elimelech takes his wife and his two boys out of the will of God from Bethlehem, Judah. You know what that means, the house of God, the house of bread. And he said, we're going down to Moab, a place called backsliding. And what we're going to do is we're going to uproot my family because there's a famine. I want you to look at it in verse 1. You got a famine. Look in verse 2. You got the family. And look 3-5. You got the failure. You got a whole family out of the will of God. Because Dad said, we're going down to Moab because in Moab, maybe there's something we can do. It calls a little income where we can provide for the family. How many men have walked out of the will of God and brought their families out of the will of God just for the mighty dollar? And it cost them in their family. I'm amazed at how much we flip-flop and in and out, and God's will is, and God is leading, and every 6 months He's leading somewhere else. I understand that God does lead at times in those areas, and sometimes it might be a journey that you're going on to get you to that place, but friend, I'm hearing too much of God led me, and then all of a sudden God leading somewhere else, because we either run out of gas or we don't like the circumstances. There's a whole lot of things that took place, and I won't go in through it, Northwest Bible Baptist Church, that I just didn't particularly care for. But God always has a place, and if He has a place, you go ahead and withstand the battles. God has something on the other side for you. I'm thinking of a preacher right now, I won't mention his name, on the West Coast. I preach for him every year. Had a revival for him every year, a week revival. And all those years, that man was struggling. He was struggling all the time. Some of you preachers preach for him. He just couldn't get a building. He couldn't get a building built. He struggled. He wept. He cried. I even said, brother, maybe God wants you to go somewhere. I don't know. And he said this. He said, preacher, I would, except God sent me here. I said, man, don't you mess with that. Hey, preacher, don't you mess with that. If God, if you know God, wants you here, I don't care what kind of struggles you go through. You stay by the stuff, and God will come through one of these days and do something for you that no man can explain. For 20-something years, I think you've been out there before, 20-something years, he struggled and struggled and struggled, and all of a sudden, boom, it happened. In a multi-million-dollar building like this, and he's preaching to a great crowd right now. It took him that long. But friend, let me tell you something. Few preachers do I know would have gone through that struggle to get to the point where God said, here it is. I'm afraid sometimes we have these little weak, anemic, sissified type of fundamentalists that will not hold the course and stand the tide and stem the tide to the point to get through the tough times where God said, all right, now I can trust you with something. Walking out of the will of God. I want you to look at this, please. Elimelech took the two boys. I want you to look at verse 1. He just was going to sojourn. He's just going to stay just a short period of time. Just a short period of time. Sojourn. Look at verse 2, Brother Sal. Look what it says. But he continued there. Continued there. Do you study? About 10 years, what they did. Just a little while, we're just going to leave Bethlehem, Judea. We're going to leave the place of God's blessing, and we're going to go down to Moab, and we're going to accomplish something there and get some food and some money. No problem, right? Took his whole family out of the will of God. And when he did, I want you to see what happened, if you would, please. He not only walked out of the will of God, he died out of the will of God. Brethren, now some of this, you're not getting shook about this, but I pastored 30 years and I've watched them by the scores walk straight out of the will of God, and some of them die out of the will of God. There's one thing to be out the will of God. There's another thing to die outside the will of God. Thank you, Dr. Green, for staying as long as you have in your place and being a hero and somebody we look up to. He's not fooling me. Trust me, he's been in situations where he could have left. Possibly should have left, but he said, no, can't do that because this is where God has planted me. And this is where I'll stay. I want you to look at the sojourn, and then I want you to look at the continuing. The man died outside of the will of God. Not only stepped out of the will of God, Brother Runyon, but died outside of the will of God. Every time you walk out of the will of God, you bring people with you. You boys understand this? When you go into the ministry, if you're not careful, you're going to walk out of the will of God. And when you do, you bring your wife, your children, and people with you, and you'll pay for it, and they will too. I want you to look at the two boys. The two boys died too. Maybe that don't excite you. You know the problem with some of you folks? You can't get excited because you think that just black words on white pieces of paper, you really don't believe that's a true story in the Word of God. But it actually happened, and it's happening today before our eyes. Walking out of the will of God. What about these missionaries that go off and then come home after 4 years? God, call me here. Men of God, call you. Just stick around for a while. Well, it's hard. I've had them go to the mission field, Brother Gip, and come home and say this. Said, well, the wife had wanted to come home. She didn't know it was going to be that hard. Should have studied that, Brother Carter, before they went. Can you imagine? God help us. Brother, this may not be an exciting and real. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to tell you, for 30 years, I've watched it happen, and I've watched people destroy their lives. And we'll never have revival until people understand that there is a perfect place. They just need to stick around and say, you can see the fruit when you stick around, can't you? And then there's going to come a time where you lose your strength. You've got to pass it down. Say amen right there. Some preachers just they lose their energy, have no more energy. Say amen right there, Brother Buchanan. It's happening to you too. You can come live with me. No, Sarita, can you stay home? And I like what Dr. Bob Smith said. He said, I just don't have the energy to do it anymore. He said, I can't pastor. I don't have the energy to do it anymore. I said, man, what are you talking about? He said, Keith, when you get to the point, instead of wanting to counsel your people, you want to kill them, it's time to resign. I said, bless God, Brother Smith. I'm there now. You lose your strength, and sometimes you got to pass it on to a younger guy that's got a little more energy. And sometimes your health breaks, but just staying—that's what counts. Staying, sticking it out, staying where you belong. Man lost his entire family, his two boys. Look at it now. You're always going to take people with you that you shouldn't ought to take. And I'm telling you right now, you're going to pay for it every time. And those that you take with you, they're going to pay for it also. I'm thinking of how many illustrations I can give right now. And then he ended up with a wife who had to change her name from the pleasant one to the bitter one because he took her out of the will of God. Do you know why preachers are bailing out of this thing? They think that this type of preaching is too old-fashioned, and they feel that they don't want to fuss at anybody, and they feel they don't want to intimidate anybody, and they feel they want to be PC, and they don't understand that preaching will get people right with God if it's done right, and people need to understand the fragility of the will of God. And if you're not careful, you too, in 12 months from now, you'll get mad at the preacher. Get mad at the preacher. Get mad. The same preacher used to amen. Now you're sitting back with your arms crossed saying, well, I don't know about all that. Had nothing to do with the preacher. Had something to do with you. You got out of the will of God. You're backslidden. And you don't have to go to the far country to do that. You can do it right outside of the pew. You don't have to go to Las Vegas. You don't have to go down to the casino boat. You can sit in the pew and go to the far country. And the same amen, the same sermons that he preached that you used to amen, now you're sitting with your arms crossed saying, I don't know about this stuff anymore. And all of a sudden when your kids, when they're about this big, and you tell them to roll over and bark like a dog and do this and do that, and they're doing it all, everything's fine. But when they give them about teenagers and they begin to put pressure on you, say, that preacher's a little narrow-minded. A little bit too much standards, too many rules at the school. It's sad that some parents even listen to their little two-by-squirts when it comes to that. God help you. The children ought not be running the homes in our churches. Mom and dad ought to. And this is what happened. All of a sudden, you end up out of the will of God. How many young preachers have gone contemporary in the emergent church movement walking out of the will of God, and it will cost them one day their children will end up marrying freaks of nature if they're not careful. I mean, the thing that we kept pure all these years in standards and convictions, one of these days we're going to see it come in our churches where some of these preachers that's gone that emergent church way, their children and their church are going to look like something that fell out the back end of MTV. God help us. Walking out of the will of God. And it's happening all the time. Not only if you walk out of the will of God, you'll meet people you shouldn't meet. Look at Malon and Chilion. They married two heathen women, non-Jewish women. You think about that for a minute. And that's what happens to our loved ones and our children when we walk out of the will of God. Sometimes they'll meet, and you will too, preacher. You'll meet people you shouldn't meet. I'm amazed at how these young preachers Brother Don, they're not reading after the men of old. They're reading the newfangled new boys, and they're reading after them. The problem they're having is that they're reading after the new boys instead of some of the old ones. You're not deep enough to read after Spurgeon. You don't have enough character to study your Bible and see what God tells you to say from God's pulpit to the people, God's people. Scared to death of you trying to get these sermons to make them feel good and stroke them a little bit, because God forbid that we would ever nail anybody down concerning their sin. God help that. And what some of this is what's happened in our independent Baptist churches. You believe that strong preaching against sin is hateful preaching? God help you. That's all I'm going to say. God help your shriveled up, backslidden, out of the will of God soul. Preaching on sin should not offend anybody. Great peace. They that love thy law, nothing shall offend them. You ought to shout amen. You ought to run the aisle. You ought to egg on the preacher when he's nailing sin down. But today we're called mean when we do that. It's amazing when I preach on sodomy how every now and again somebody get mad. What I always ask them, I said, so who in your family is a sodomite? I always ask if that's the truth. And they'll say, well, my son. All right. I always do it. I pull out a 3x5 and I said, all right, you got any more children? Well, yeah, I do. Would any of them drink? Any of them smoke? Well, preacher, why are you asking that? Well, I just want to be able to list their sin because I don't want to preach against it because I don't want to offend you again. You know what they did? They dropped their head and they go, you got us, preacher. I said, friends, listen. What you're trying to tell me is don't preach against sin just because one of your sons are living in it. But that's what's happening. Most fundamentalists can't even think without a remote control in their hands. They're letting the world and news media make our thinking for it. Even right now in this meeting right now, you couldn't shout right now about me preaching against sodomy because you have been brainwashed by your television that we ought to be tolerant toward that stuff. Shame what's happening in our churches. Can't even preach against sin anymore. I'm saying that you'll meet people that shouldn't meet, and this is what happened. You walk out of the will of God, young preachers go to meetings that they shouldn't go to. They're rubbing shoulders with people. They're reading after people. They're going on the internet and getting some of this stuff. And Malon and Chilean end up marrying non-Jewish girls, heathen girls, and look where it got them. In Genesis chapter 34, Jacob stopped short of the will of God by 18 miles because he walked out of the will of God. His daughters were sexually assaulted and his sons committed murder. I'm thinking about how many young preacher boys that I know. I'm thinking of one now that walked out of the will of God, decided he was going to do his own thing. And when he did, Brother Andy, tragedy hit. He's a shadow of what he'll ever be. Just a shell of a man. Walking out of the will of God. You know, brethren, sometimes I guess we think that maybe some of that, it takes years for God to catch up with you. But I want to say this. I'm going to give you an illustration in a minute that sometimes it's only a moment of walking out of the will of God. Just one day. Didn't have to be 10 years. This is exactly what the woman did. She came back to her own town and her own people. And they said, is this Naomi? They didn't even know who she was. 10 years of Moab had changed her so much physically, they didn't even know who she was. Walking out of the will of God, not only will you meet people that shouldn't meet, but you'll do things you never thought you'd ever do. I'm thinking of some right now that are struggling. I'm thinking of two right now in state penal institutions. Brethren, I hate to even say this. They came through our church. There were some of our young people. I love them. I tried to help them. I warned them. I warned them against the drug addiction. I warned them against booze. I preached on everything. And they decided they're going to try it themselves. And tonight, they're in penal institutions because they did not listen. Walking out of the will of God. Are y'all listening now? I'm talking about young people that are not back at the trackers. I'm not talking about bus kids. I'm talking about up and inners. I'm talking about folks that were right there established. God could have used that young man to preach the gospel. He could have used that young girl to be a pastor's wife. And now they're in jail. They're in penal institutions. Walking out of the will of God. Some of you folks think it's going to take 10 years, like Elimelech and Naomi. But trust me when I say this, that sometimes it's just a moment. Sometimes it's just one day. Sometimes we just don't understand, like David, that it was time for him to be at war in 2 Samuel 11. Are y'all with me now? But he stayed at home out of the will of God. Listen, folks, when the Bible said it was time for kings to be at war, that's where he should have been. That was the will of God. But he stayed at home, and that was not the will of God, and that's what happened. Are y'all with me now? He didn't take a day off of war. He took a day out of the will of God. Just one day. He committed adultery and then murder, and it cost him. It cost him the child. It cost him Tamar. It cost him Amnon. It cost him Absalom. Just one day. Not 10 years. Just one day out of the will of God. I think sometimes when we get saved by the grace of God, we really don't understand why God saved us. He didn't save you to sit in sorrow. He didn't save you just to sit there and stare at preachers barking at you all the time and then take an offering. He saved you that you might sit there and say, "Oh God, speak to my heart and do something in me and for me and through me." And all of a sudden God begins to work on you, and He begins to form you and begins to call you and pushes you into certain ministries to serve Him. And as you serve Him, God may burden your heart a little more and a little more and a little more. And then God will do something great for you. Brother Kenny, remember the Wednesday night I was called to preach. I mean, I just was busy about this and busy about that. And God was allowing me to do this and allowing me to do that. And then all of a sudden God said, "That's it. I don't want this play acting anymore. I want you totally, wholly." When I did, I gave Him my all. But it was because God was just working in my heart, and little by little, doing the will of God, just step by step doing the will of God. God taking old boy out of the Cajun swamps of Louisiana. And then just step by step, day by day, doing His will, God then shoved me and put me right where He wanted me. I say again, I won't belabor the point. I'll be through in just a second, I think. But I do, and I make no apology for it. A lot of preachers play golf on Monday. And I don't fuss at them. They can do that. You preachers that play golf, and even you laymen play golf, man, you go have fun, bless God. I don't cut the grass while I hit the ball. And not only that, I'll never do anything that caused me to lose my religion. And brother, that ain't nothing makes me feel the way I feel when I play golf. The ball never goes where I hit it. It never does. So you go ahead and do that, and you have fun, and you keep your religion. I lose mine. So I know that you aggressive guys, thank God for us aggressive guys, man. Wasn't for us, you wouldn't be eating nothing. We got to go around killing something. Blood's got to flow somewhere. But anyway, I hunt a little bit, and I get to do that, and I try to do that every now and again. And I remember it was peak rut, and I couldn't wait. I was on my farm down in Pike County, Illinois, the number one destination for every bow hunter in the world. Peak rut, I had it all picked out. I dreamt already. I knew it was going to happen that day. I got my bow and stuff, and I was swinging my leg out of the truck, and my phone rang, cell phone rang. I looked down. I said, "Don't answer that, man. You don't get to do a lot of this. Just go. Don't answer that phone." The Holy Ghost said, "Answer it. Answer it." I said, "But I got to go. I'm late now. Answer it." I looked at the number, didn't recognize the number, and God said, "Answer it." I put it to my head, and when I did, the man screamed out, "Thank God. Thank God." I said, "Man, who am I talking to?" And he told me his name. I said, "Man, good night, preacher. I hadn't talked to you in 25 years. He said, "Preacher, I looked high and low, and I found your number, your cell number, and I called you. He said, "Preacher, if you don't help me right now, I'll be dead. And within 10 minutes, I'll kill myself as sure as I'm here." I said, "Preacher, don't do that. Please don't do that. What's going on?" He said, "I'm on my third wife now." I said, "No, preacher, don't tell me that." He said, "Preacher, a long time ago when you dealt with me all those years ago and tried to help me along," he said, "from that time," he said, "I've been to this church and that church and this church." He said, "I've been on this wife and that wife, and they left me, now my third." And he said, "I'm living in a shed behind a locksmith shop." And he said, "I'm about to take my life." I said, "Please don't do that. Please don't do that." I spent the rest of the afternoon till dark helping him. I saw him later. And he wrote me a long letter and said, "You literally, because of you talking to me, have saved my physical life." I said, "Brother, where in the world did this all started? Y'all listening to me now?" He said, "Just one day, preacher, just one day. I didn't think it was going to be long, didn't think I was going to do anything wrong, but I decided to walk out of the will of God. Just one day. I'm thinking about him. You know, the thing about it, that don't move many of you because you don't know him. But let me tell you about a talented preacher. The man was an artist like nobody's business. The man was absolutely ten-talented, and yet here he is about to blow his brains out and on his third wife because he walked out of the will of God. You know, in Genesis chapter 12, we've got Abraham getting out of the will of God, walking out of the will of God, going down to Egypt. Went down to Egypt, met him a Hagar. Can you say amen right there? Met him a Hagar, and that's what happens when you leave the will of God. You'll always end up in a mess and doing things you shouldn't do and marrying the wrong people. And then he came back, and he had that child by her. And his impatience on God's promise caused him to walk out of the will of God. This child's lineage has killed millions and is still fighting in Israel today. We've got him in Afghanistan and Iraq and Iran and Syria, all over. They brought the Twin Towers down in New York City. Are y'all listening to me? No, y'all didn't get it, did I? I said, Abraham! Abraham getting out of the will of God. Not trusting God for what he said. Impatient of what God said in His promise. It's what happens to us sometimes. We hear about the second coming of Christ. I don't believe He's coming. Let's just eat, drink, be merry. We've got young people just, they're getting out of the will of God. They're getting very nervous about what's going on. Very impatient because we live in a society that believes in instant gratification. We want it right now. Abraham walked out of the will of God just for a day. And it's caused chaos down through these centuries. His nephew Lot tasted the world and ended up in Sodom. He lost his wife and all his kids in Sodom, except for two daughters, then committed incest and ended up birthing two heathen nations. Think about that for a minute. Now I'm through tonight. Again, I didn't try to preach anything that was a chandelier swing or anything like that. I just want to say this to you. I don't care who you are. It doesn't matter what you hear this week. It really doesn't matter. We can talk about the 70s. We can talk about revival. We can talk about Holy Ghost filled. We can talk about all the great moves of the God. But I'm telling you right now, it's not going to work if you walk out of the will of God. Why can't we have members that just say, I am here and I'm not leaving. I'm here and I'm going to pray. I'm here and I'm going to win souls. I'm here and I'm going to run bus routes. I'm here and I'm not leaving. I am in the will of God. I'm afraid that some people can't even say that I am in the will of God and I shall continue to do God's will. What can we learn from this story? Number one, the will of God is geographical as well as spiritual. Brother Ken, I'd love to come down there and do what we had planned, be your assistant pastor. Plant churches all down south and get boys to come take it. You know that was my heart and my dream. It was my heart and my dream. And that's the problem right there. I'm amazed how many people do exactly what they want to do and they contrive and manipulate God to get just what they want. Now, brethren, this may not move you, but trust me when I say this. Really, it's not the place that I would have chosen. But God never asked me. And don't you think that I have not had multiple places that's been wanting me and asking me to come? Some of those scenic places and geographical places in the world. I just can't. Come on, Brother Cannon. Remember 45 minutes down from my mom and daddy, just right down from you. You remember that? I was only at Northwest for 1 year and everything said I should go. Everything said I should go. Except one. That's God. I wrote down all the physical, why I should go, all the pros and cons, and all I could come up with was flesh, 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 flesh. When I thought about the Spirit of God, nothing. You remember that? And I decided I cannot, because I'm exactly where God wants me to be. And I cannot. Brother J.R., God has you for a reason where you're at. God forbid that your father's work and death would be in vain. You stay. You stay and you do. I think not only the will of God is geographic and spiritual, but you must get through the hardships and the famines. There's no excuse for walking out of the will of God. I'm not going to go into all that happened to me. You know what happened to me. You've been around for a little while. I mean, you almost lose your son and then actually lose your wife. When you have those hardships come up, it's so easy. Are y'all with me now? And nobody could blame me. Nobody could blame me. were just stepping out at that time. And I really thought about going to being like Sam Giff and Dennis Corll getting into vandalism. But they're vandalizing enough, so I figured I'd stay out of it. That's what happens. Brother Brown did it. Most preachers do. They lose their wife, and they go into vandalism. That's all y'all do. That's all you do when you come preach with me, is vandalize. Are y'all with me now? Could have stepped out any time, and nobody, including my own people, could ever blame me. In fact, most of them thought that I would do just that. You know, I would have. It was tempting. But I got to thinking, if I wasn't going to leave before, why should I let this hardship be the reason why I should leave? I use you every night again, Brother Don, how that happened when you lost your first wife and then you had the children that you had to raise and you had to take your little daughter and comb her beautiful hair, try to get her ready for school. No man can get a little girl ready for school. You know that. It's just impossible. We don't know how to dress them. We don't know what to do with their hair for all those years till God gave you that good woman right there. I'm glad you didn't get out of the will of God for some of us. Examples. But boy, how easy it is when hardships come. And this is what happened. Brethren, I'm trying to be an encouragement and a blessing to some of you preachers, but I'm telling you right now, hardships are going to come in your ministry. You young men I've talked to tonight, even in yesterday, you're starting churches. Hardships are going to come. If you're not careful, you're going to think that maybe it's easier somewhere else. Let me tell you something. If you're going to build a great church, it's always hard work and hardships. Number next quickly, and I'm through. It'll cost you dearly. And normally more than what you want to pay. When you walk out of that one time walking out of the will of God, it's going to cost you dearly. You never want to do that. We're always undoing in doubt when we start off in faith. I wonder about this, and I'm through now. Listen, the Bema Seat of Christ, Brother Terry. Should be a very convicting day. The Bema Seat of Christ. What is that going to be all about? Could it be that at the Bema Seat of Christ, God would show us, or could show us, or might show us what we could have been if we would have stayed in the place that God had put us. You know, we like to preach about that Elijah, don't we? God told him to go here, and he went here, and God fed him, and went over here, and he did this. He did everything God told him to do, and because he was in God's there, God blessed him. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you going to be in God's there? Are you going to stay where you're supposed to stay because God tells you to stay there and stay in the will of God and never walk out of the will of God? I'm shocked at this economy. They got people that are being tempted to come over here and work. They know that they're in the perfect place. They know they're in the will of God. They know they're at Faith Baptist Church. They know the school is going good. Their children are doing absolutely fantastic. The whole family is one except one thing, the job played out. So what we're going to do, boy, I know I'm in something some of you folks ain't going to agree with. I don't really care. I'm telling you right now, if money means more to you than the eternality of your children, something's wrong with you. They don't even sit around and wait on a job and wait on God. They're just going to bail, man, go right there. And then all of a sudden, next time they come visit Faith Baptist Church, the kids look like they dropped out and flopped out and pierced and tattooed. If your family means no more to you than that, God help us. Staying in the will of God. That's all I want to do. Oh, it won't be long. Some of us old preachers, our mouths will be shut. And some of you will be rejoicing in that. But as long as I have voice, I'm going to scream about it. There is a will of God, and you better stay in it. One of these days, Dr. Runyon, much I love you, you know that there's going to have to be a transition. Talked about that. Just stay on, hang on as long as you can. We know how that thing's going to work out. God has something for you. God has something for you, Brother Terry, at one time, but you just stay where you belong. Brother Corll, thank you for staying faithful with that paper and staying for what the purpose is. Don't ever change. Just stay right on course. Walking out of the will of God, I don't want to be one to walk out of the will of God. There's going to come a day when I, too, Brother Lonnie, am going to have to step aside. And I don't know when that is. It's no time soon. I've got enough spunk and vinegar still to stick around for a while. But one of these days, I just want to make sure that it's the right time. The right time. And when I do that, folks, I can stand in front of my people with a big smile on my face saying, I know that I know. I have walked lockstep with Jesus Christ for these many years. I know that I know it's time for me to step down and a younger man to come in. I want to be able to do that. I don't want to be able to get out just because something happened or I get frustrated somewhere and step out of the will of God. I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that I finish my course with gladness. That's what it's all about. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Trust me when I say this. Trust me when I say this. All of us are going to answer for the message I just preached about the will of God. Not what I said, but this matter of the will of God. Trust me. There is a will of God for all of us. Brother Sharp, keep plowing deep, man. Keep traveling, going up and down the road, beating your body up, preaching. You good preacher, just stay by the stuff. Do what you're supposed to do. That's all the younger generation looking to and looking for, some faithfulness. God's touch upon our lives and our ministries. We talk about the places, and Brother Runyon referred to it, but thank God at Northwest Bible Church, we had folks walk the aisle and get saved and baptized for the 30 years I've been there, except December the 26th, 09, one Sunday in 30 years. God can do it with you. You just got to pay the price and stay, and God will do something with you. Let's stand to our feet, please, with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Some are already at the altar. If you need to come, God touched your heart in that first message. Brother Runyon did such a wonderful job. And could I say this to you, all of you here, all of you young people here, God has a will for you. Make sure you stay in it. Preachers, please stay in the will of God. We need you. We need this army. We don't need people to drop out. We don't need people to be injured. We need you to stay in the fight. You come tonight. Whatever your need is, make sure that you do. As we play the invitation song, you come on right now. This is yours. Come on. God bless you.